You know, I was thinking about this Veterans Day and how, you know, if it wasn't for those folks that were willing to stand, we would not be a nation today. We would be taken over. We would have been actually Nazi Germany would have had us. And, you know, we would have been under their regime. We would have, if they hadn't stood where we have stood, then probably we would be under communism right now and all the rest. So, you know, it's these people that were willing to lay their lives down for their nation. They were willing to do what God wanted them to do. And they knew it was the right thing to do. And so they went ahead and, you know, it's amazing because, you know, back in World War II and stuff like that, you know, these guys were coming out of there. If they were turned down because they were flat-footed or something of that nature or didn't have the proper eyesight or whatever, you know, and they were rejected by the military, they cried their eyes out. They were upset about the whole thing. They really were. They tried to find other areas like the civil alarm, civil whatever that was that they had that put out the alarm and told everybody to turn out the lights and things like that. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, to make a long story short, in just a few short years later on, we had that Vietnam War, and we got all these young people that want to go up to Canada and everything instead of serving their country and doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. Now, we hear a lot of bad things about Vietnam and the Vietnam War and those, but I still respect the military that went over there and those that tried to serve and do the things that God wanted them to do. I think it was the right thing to do. You know, a lot of times people say, why are we going over and fighting somewhere over here or fighting over there? Why don't we just, you know, leave people alone? Let me tell you something. If we're going to have to fight some type of terrorist or something like that, let's do it over on their property. Amen. Don't bring that over here into America. I don't want our cities all blown up. I don't want our wives and children and everything hurt, lame, and all that bombed and everything because some other nation's coming against us and everything. Why wait? You know, stop them in their tracks if they're doing the wrong thing and all that. But anyway, here we have the Midianites had taken over Israel, and they had them under a very they really suppressed them. If you read earlier, you'll find that Gideon was hiding behind a wine press there and kind of throwing up a little bit of wheat that he had so the wind would blow the chaff away and things like that. And he didn't want to do it too high because he didn't want the Midianites to see him doing that. They were coming into the country just around harvest time, and they took all the harvest and everything. So the children of Israel were almost starving, but yet they were doing all the work and everything else, and the Midianites were just taking everything from them and all that. And they had the power to do that. Well, you know, God here is hearing the prayers of Israel and trying to deliver them from the Midianites, and he chooses to do that. And he calls a man named Jerubbaal and or Gideon, and here the Bible tells us that Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Haran. Now, the Bible tells us here that they see so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. So they were down in the valley. They had the high ground, but nevertheless, they were a very small group. Even with all those that came out, it was only 32,000 people that were there, warriors, to fight this thing. And here at the Midianites, the Bible says that their campfires were, you know, were like the stars of heaven, you know, all over the whole place. And but nevertheless, God tells them, look, I want you to go down, and we're going to give you the victory. Now, he had to do a lot of talking and a lot of proving to Gideon here that he would be by him. He would direct him and help him and all the rest. Actually, Gideon kind of proved this back when he did what God told him to do. He went and built an altar unto the Lord and chopped down the trees of the grove and all that. Now, all the men in the city were upset about the whole thing. It was like going in and cutting down some kind of a church or something that was preaching wrong. And that's exactly what it was doing. It was preaching wrong. It had them into idol worship and everything else. So here he went ahead and chopped it all down, took an oxen and built an altar and took that wood and everything and went ahead and offered a sacrifice and so on and so forth. And so the men of the city came and they were all upset and they wanted to plead for Baal. And of course, Gideon's father said to him, look, if Baal's supposed to be a god, let him do something about it. Amen. Why are you all coming to my house and trying to give my son a hard time? If he's really is God, then let him do something about it. Well, nothing was done naturally because Baal's nothing but an idol. Amen. And so anyway, God proved to him that he was going to watch over him and take care of him and things like that. And so he went on with this and God told him what to do. And as he got the instruction from God to prepare to go to battle with the Midianites, God's telling him how to do it here. And the first thing that he does is he says, look, I'm going to help you with your army. Okay? And here's what I want you to do. And so Gideon went and called a bunch of folks out and told them about it, what God wanted them to do and everything. 32,000 men showed up. Well, God says, wait a minute, that's too many. You know the story, you know how it goes. God said, that's just too many people and all this. So he says, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me. You see, in other words, let me tell you something, folks. We never can. I've had people say to me, you built a great church down there at Gospel Light and all that. I said, no, I didn't build anything. God did. And I don't say that just because I'm trying to be spiritual or something like that. I'm telling you facts. You know what I mean? I don't know where all the money came from. I don't know where the people came from. I don't know. All I knew is what God had showed me to do, and that's to run buses, win souls, and knock on doors and all that kind of stuff and everything. And we did those things. And because we did those things, I guess, God blessed it and he went ahead and gave us the property, gave us the building and so on and so forth. Same thing here. You all have built a work here and everything else. And God's given you a building. God's given you nice pews and everything that we have here and so on and so forth. And God will bring people in. I believe with all my heart, it's just a matter of that we need to be prepared for them when they do come, and we need to have our Sunday school in order, and I'm going to be working on that and trying to set that up and everything else. I want to find out about the first year what to do. If we're not going to go anywhere else, then especially because of the wedding, I don't want to build those rooms back there yet, okay? So because we're going to need that space and everything else for the wedding. But after that, we need to move towards these things and go ahead and be prepared at least by the first of the year that we can start dividing on up into more Sunday school classes and so on and so forth. Why? Because I believe that's how we're going to grow. Now, a lot of times people say, we're such a small group. Yeah, I don't think God enjoys working through small groups. He really does. And here we see there was 32,000 people showed up, but God's saying, listen, that's too many. I don't want them. And he went ahead and the Bible says that there was 22,000 that left and there remained 10,000 people after God told them. He said, look, now this is the message I want to give you tonight. Who does God use? Who does God use? Well, first off, those not fit for his service. Who are those? Well, the Bible says the fearful and those that are afraid. We see that in verse 3. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. You know what? I don't think this thing's on. And I turned it on. Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Okay. Can you hear me all right? All right. I like to hear myself, you know. But anyway, the Bible tells us here, see, at Gospel Light there, I had those two speakers that were up in the ceiling up there, and they were pointed towards the back wall, and it would bounce off the back wall and come back to me. So I kind of enjoyed that. But I don't have that here. I got a, you know, a long, long area here that, yeah. But anyway. So he told them, he said, the fearful and those that are afraid. Folks, let me tell you something. You know, God wants people of faith. He wants people of faith. You've got to have faith in not only in what God, you know, as some people say, well, God didn't talk to me. You know what I mean? God might have talked to Jerubbaal here, but he didn't talk to me. And how do I know this is going to happen? How do I really know God's in this thing? How do I know this, that, and the other thing? Well, we got the same problem here today. Amen? How do we know this? Well, we go to the Word of God. What does God say about this? You see, people that are too afraid to do the work, they're too afraid to fight the battle. They won't fight when a situation comes up. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of times you say to yourself, well, you know, if somebody came in here and did this, I'd stand up and I'd say this and I'd say that. Well, maybe you would get up in their face or something of that nature, but will you go against your family? You know, let me tell you something. When I got saved and I started witnessing to my family, that was it. They stopped coming and visiting us. They didn't want, you know, if we went to a family, some kind of family gathering or something like that, you know, they were, oh, hey, how you doing, Tom? And, you know, they were away, you know. They kind of scurried right on away. They didn't want you to be around you, you know what I mean? They knew you were going to try and witness to them. They knew you were going to try to get them saved. They knew what you stood for, you see. And, folks, let me tell you something. That's a battle. That's a battle you got to fight. Do you want your family or do you want God? Well, Jesus says, that we ought to love Him more than we love our father and our mother and our brothers and sisters and all the rest. Amen. These are the things that what are you going to put before God? Do you put your job before God? You put your house? I remember a guy back at Riverdale Baptist Church told me that, in fact, he was the janitor at the church. I don't know if you all remember them, not big, big, heavy set guy. And, he said that, that he had a dog, and he loved that dog. And he said he felt bad about going to church. You know, he stayed home to play with the dog. Now, wait a minute, hold it. If you're going to get up and go to work and leave the dog at home, then, why wouldn't you go to church and leave the dog at home? But no, he said that he finally got that straight and got his heart right with God and everything else. We can't put things like that in front of God. You know what I'm saying? I remember there were several times that my cows, I had cattle, and my cows got out. But, hey, I'm not going to say, hey, Keith, have you got a message in your back pocket? Can you preach? I got to get my cows, you know. We pulled on down the driveway and went on to church. Amen. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. Cows will have to take care of themselves. That's all there was to it. And by the way, they didn't have any problem with that. They just ate over there my neighbor's grass and things like that. I think he got mad and chased them on back over onto my place. But anyway, we need to put things in the right perspective. Who is your God? Wait a minute. When I say God, who's your king? You know, when you say God, that means it's the one we worship, the one that we fall down before, the one that we obey, the one we listen to, and all the rest. Well, these folks here were fearful. They were fearful. They did not want to continue in these things. They didn't want to get into any kind of controversy. You know, a lot of times people they don't want to. I know somebody that doesn't go to church, and they said, I said, well, why aren't you going to church? They said, well, there's too much controversy in there. You know, too much bickering or whatever you want to call it. There was another word that he used. I couldn't think of what it was, but anyway, you know, hey, you've got that kind of stuff in the workplace. You got that kind of stuff in around your family. You got it with your neighbors. You got it with everywhere you got people. You have that kind of problem. Amen. So why would you let that keep you from serving God and doing the things that God wants you to do? So anyway, what I'm saying is the fearful and the unafraid. He says, look, I can't use you. You're going to have to go on back home. You know, we don't need that out here on the battlefield. And those, the second ones, are those that bow down upon their knees. When God said, look, I'll put a little test out there, take them all down, get them a drink of water. And he said, now after they drink, or drunk, or whatever you want to call it, you know, they after they finished, then all those that, I want you to note, all those that bowed the knee, bowed down on their knees and bent over and got a drink of water and all that kind of stuff on the river's edge, then I can't use them. Those that went by, scooped it up, and got themselves a drink, he said, those are the ones I want to use. Now, why does he say that? I got to thinking about that, and you know what I think it is? I think it's, you know, when you took time to, they knew they were getting ready to go into battle. This is what Gideon told them, you know, we're getting ready to go into battle, you need to go down and get a drink so that you're not thirsty and everything when we're out here on the battlefield. You need to have some water in you and all that kind of stuff. Well, these guys went down and they spent too much time. You know, you're getting ready to go to battle. Well, these necessities of life we need to set aside. And we need to go ahead and do the things that God wants us to do. And this is the way these guys were looking at it. They were saying, look, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time getting down on my knees and crawling over to the bank you know, I don't know about you all, but I can tell you right now, it had been a half an hour before I got back up out of, you know, crawling around here. I'd have to crawl around, find me a tree or something, and kind of pull myself back up on that and all that kind of stuff. And, but the truth of the matter is, they took too much time to drink the water. And, I believe that God is saying here, look, this was more important to these men. It's more important to these men to be ready on the battlefield and everything else, to get out there and to get it finished, whatever it was that was necessary. Go ahead and do it real quick. But the rest of it, you know, we don't need to get down on our knees. We don't need to be trying to get a drink like that and everything. No, that was what it was. It was too much concern with their own comfort. I wonder if I'm drinking enough water. I wonder if I'm going to be full. I wonder if maybe I'll splash a little bit on my body or whatever. You know, I don't know what the weather was like, whether it was hot out there or whatever. But at any rate, they were too concerned about their comfort than they were about getting in the battle and doing what they were supposed to be doing. And folks, let me tell you something. We got Christians today that are too concerned about their comfort. You know, they're out of their comfort area. You know, well, it's a little too cold out there. Well, it's a little too hot out there. Well, just a couple months ago, it was too hot. Now it's too cold. Amen. But let me tell you something. I praise God for those that have been going out on Saturdays with us. We've had a good crowd going out with us on a regular basis and everything. Now, last Saturday, it was down a little bit. But that's neither here nor there. We did have the Carmens go out with us, and they did a lot of door knocking. And my wife and I did some. And so on and so forth. So we praise the Lord for the way that this church, let me tell you something, it's getting hard to find areas that we haven't knocked on doors, you know, all around Hughesville here. And I'm telling you, there's some big little communities and everything around here. We got one that we started up towards Waldorf now. Last week we went up Route 5 here, almost to that where you get out to the light. You know what I'm talking about, Bryantown store and all that. So there was a couple of places there, and one we almost completely covered, and one we went into, and it had, I was very surprised, all of us were, about how big it was. And it went way, way back in there. So we came out of there. We said, well, no, we won't tackle this. We'll wait till we get, until Keith comes, you know. And, no, I'm just kidding. But we said, we'll wait until, you know, everybody comes back out and we'll go ahead and try and tackle that. But, as we said, we'll go on the other side of the road. So we went on the other side of the road, and we went on back in there and everything. And they took one side, and my wife and I took the other side. And we went ahead and we're working our way up. Well, anyway, I got up to an area where the houses were right beside each other. You know what I mean? I mean, there were big lots, but they were beside each other. And then there was one area that was just a bunch of trees. And I said, well, you know, that's a good stopping point. Let's go across the street, and we'll start working back towards the Carmen's, you know, because there was a court that they had gone down into and all that. As they were coming up their side, there was a court going off. So they came up and went down the court. And we went down to the end of the court, my wife and I, and we found them down there. I told them that we were going to be doing the houses, coming back to them. Well, we went ahead and did that and everything, and then Brother Nathan says, you want to go ahead and finish it up? I said, no, we're not going to be able to finish it up. I don't know why, but I had it in my head that it was the other side of the road. You know how long, that real long driveway? So anyway, I told him, I said, go ahead and go on home, and we'll finish it up next week. And so we started driving out. In fact, my wife even said something to me about that. You ought to go ahead and finish it up. And I said, we only got a little bit of time left, and, because usually we get done by 12. Anyway, to make a long story short, I tried past that, come up that little bit of a knoll and where that wooded area was, and when I made the turn right there, it was three houses, so and then Route 5. So I couldn't believe that, but anyway, we'll go ahead and take care of them. Before we go somewhere else. But what I'm saying is this, you know, like I said, I appreciate so many of those that have come out, and I know that you've even come out and gone with me up to the doors and things like that. And, All right. Amen. But don't kill yourself now trying to do it, you know, but pray for us and that kind of stuff while we're out there. But God bless you. I mean, you know, if you can make it out, it's unbelievable. And I just really admire that. But really all those that have come and have gone and knocked on doors and things like that, I really appreciate that so much. And I know God does. And God wants us to go out and lift him up before the neighborhood and the area and everything else. So this is what we're supposed to be doing. Those that not fit for service are those that are fearful and afraid. So, but who are those that are doing the job that God wants them to do? Who are those 300 God uses? Amen. Well, let me just go ahead and go to the back part of this chapter 7. We didn't read this, but, nevertheless, we can take a look at it. I think the first thing is they were men of faith. They were men of faith. You know, they believed that God was with them. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to understand that. When the Bible stands there and says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you need to understand that God is with you. Amen? You say, well, you know, I might have done this or I might have done that. Well, God's not leaving you. Amen? Just go ahead and confess it, get it right with God, and go on. Don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let the devil get you down. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not worthy to be used. None of us are worthy to be used for God's glory. Amen? But the truth of the matter is God can use us and God wants to use us. In fact, that's his plan. is to take mankind. He doesn't have angels to, he's got millions of angels. But he's chosen not to use the angels, but to use mankind to take the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. You say, well, I wonder why that is. Well, let me tell you something. Angels can't get saved. You ever think about that? We're the only ones that are supposed to be born again, saved, and everything else. So we're going out and telling the world what's happened to us. How do I know there's a God in heaven? Because he saved my soul. You know? How do you know that you're saved? Because the Bible says so. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that. I called upon God. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me tell you something. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen? And I ought to be going out and telling people about that. Because that's what God wants us to do. Now, let me tell you something. There's men of faith. I believe that when God told them, that 300 men, I bet the first thing that hit their mind was back when Abraham went after Lot. Remember that? In chapter 14, I think it is, of Genesis, we find that Lot was taken prisoner. And Abraham took 318 of his servants there, and they went after him. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about five kings. How many armies is that? That's five different armies. Amen. And they're going in there, and they did. They defeated them. Now, wait a minute. Why were they able to defeat them? Because God was with them. God was with them. I believe that with all my heart. So, you know, when it's the right thing to do, we need to know that God is with us, and we need to go ahead and do these things. Here in verse 15, it says this, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian. I believe with all my heart that God has given us Hughesville. Now, there's a lot of people that won't get saved, but there's people here that are going to get saved. Some other church, has Mechanicsville. Somebody else has Golden Beach and Charlotte Hall. Some of them are further on down to Lexington Park down that way. You know, Batuxent, they got an area they're supposed to cover and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something, folks. We have an area that God wants us to knock on those doors and win those precious souls to Christ and all the rest. God has delivered into our hands. And I believe that he's even moving us on up into Waldorf here and everything. Now, I'm not talking about the building and the church, but I'm talking about as far as our Saturday knocking on doors and things like that and trying to win precious souls to Christ. But there were men of faith. God can use people of faith, men, women, teenagers, children, if they have faith. You know, we all know about David and Goliath and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, that's not just fairy tales. That's what God's saying. Hey, this is really real. This happened. Why? Because this man put his faith in me. This young boy, this teenager or whatever, put his complete faith and trust in me. All right. Second thing is that they listened to the instructions of Gideon. You know, in verses 16 through 18, it says this, and he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know, I looked at that the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And, you know, the sword of the Lord, the Bible says, is the word of God. Amen? So what he's saying is this. Listen, put your trust in the word of God. Put your faith in what God's saying here. And God is saying that this is how we're going to destroy Midian. We're going to defeat them. How are we going to do that? Well, God's going to do it. We're not going to do it. What he's saying is, put aside your lances, put aside your spears, put aside your swords and your shields and all the rest. All these things of war, put that stuff aside. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to have a trumpet. I want you to have some kind of a pot, with a water pot or whatever. And in that, I want you to have a lamp in there and to be able to break that and the light shine and all the rest. And then you blow with the trumpet when I do this. This is what he's trying to say. And he told them to do this. Gideon was knowing that it was of God. It is the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This is what he's saying here to him. Listen to the instruction of Gideon. I did end up with Bible college through that Liberty Bible Home Institute. And learned a lot through that. But I learned a lot of Bible through that. But the truth of the matter is, I learned a lot about the ministry from other people, from other folks. I went to people that were successful in the ministry. They were building churches. They were building youth groups. They were building Sunday school and all the rest, building bus ministries and things of that nature. And I went to those places, and I listened to what they had to say. And then from there, then we went ahead. Now listen, there's a lot of folks that went there and listened. They walked away and said, "Oh man, that was great preaching. That was great. Oh, it was exciting. You know, that conference and all that kind of." BB used to have Brother Howes and also Lee Robinson. I remember over at, Delaware. Yeah, we went over there to a bus conference over there. And Jack Howes and Lee Robinson were preaching. And one had preached and then the other would preach after him and all that. Now let me tell you, that was exciting. That was good. I heard a message called Others. Others. Jack Howes preached that. And I tell you, that moved my heart. It really did. It touched my heart and it got me excited about serving God and about getting my focus off myself and off of the things that I want to do and all that and onto the things of other people. Caring about other people. And folks, let me tell you something. That's what it's all about. But listening is not all of it. I'm sure that there was a lot of folks. I mean, there was over 5,000 people there. That's what they said that there was, the count. I'm thinking to myself, if all those folks go home as excited as I am and do something about it, then you're going to see this world turned upside down. But let me tell you something, there was a lot of folks that went home and didn't do anything about it. Because the third thing, real quick, is this, they obeyed the command. Look at verses 19 through 20. It says, "So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies..." See, he divided the 300 into three companies, 100 with him, and it was 100 on the other side and 100 over on the other side. So, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." This is a great thing when you stop. They did exactly what he told them to do. Now, they did one more thing, and this is so important with the ministry. This is so important in the battlefield and all the rest. Look at verse 21. "And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled." Folks, let me tell you something. We need to stand our place. We need to stand in our place. You know, you need to find out where God wants you to be. And that's what Gideon did. He went ahead and assigned all his men. He said, "Okay, you go with this group. You go with this group. I'll take 100 men with me. We'll all line up, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to line all around here and all this kind of stuff. And I want you all every 15 feet or something like that apart from each other, every 20 feet or whatever." I don't know what he had. But the point I'm trying to say is this. They encircled that camp and everything else. And when they did that, then Gideon finally went ahead and blew the trumpet. And when he blew the trumpet, he broke the pitcher. And they were able to see the light and all that kind of stuff. And of course, every man did that all the way around. They stood in their place. They had no shield. They had no sword. They had nothing to fight with. All they had was to blow a trumpet and hold that pitcher up, you know. Not the pitcher, but because that was broken, the lamp that they had in there and everything else. Well, the Bible says that God confused the people. And when they woke up and they jumped up out of their bed and everything else, they grabbed their swords and started fighting with each other. And they ended up killing a whole bunch of them, killed an awful lot of the enemy was defeated because of it. And then the ones that were left turned around and ran out of the area. Let me tell you something, folks. God can do a wonderful, unbelievable work if we just let Him go ahead and work through us. But we need to have faith. We need to know what God wants us to do. And then we need to follow that command. We need to obey what He tells us to do. Amen? And then we'll see how God does some great things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for each one that's here. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us now and help us to really look at our own selves. And are we putting You first in our lives? Dear Lord, are we walking the way You want us to walk? Are we following Your commands? Is our Christianity kind of a shambles because of the fact that we're not doing these things that we're supposed to be doing? We think we are. And we might be talking like we're great Christians, but the truth of the matter is that if something comes up, we're those few that won't show up for the battle and won't show up to do what they're supposed to do. And Lord, we'll set everything aside. Now, Father, bless us and help us to commit ourselves to be strong and to be faithful and to be believing and trusting in You about everything. Lord, help us to be concerned about other souls. We can't help them if we're not doing in serving You the way that we ought to be serving You. So help us now to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.